ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden spoke by phone with Chinese President Xi Jinping in their first interaction since the two met last fall in California. Main topics of the conversation, according to the White House, were Taiwan and security issues. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
We have seen this relationship recover from the lowest of lows. At least you have this high-level engagement. At least you have military-to-military communication restored. But still, this is a tense, this is a competitive relationship. It's about managing that, keeping the stability, not drastically changing the relationship for the better.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen will travel to China tomorrow. The charity World Central Kitchen has paused operations in Gaza. Seven of its aid workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike. Israeli President Benjamin Netanyahu has pledged an investigation to find out what happened. New surveys show that the average American needs to make more than $100,000 to afford a home. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today is primary election day. President Biden and Donald Trump have already clinched their party's nominations. There are two constitutional amendments on the ballot. On-site voter registration is available with proof of residence like a utility bill. You need a photo ID to vote, but it doesn't need to show your current address. Donald Trump campaigns in Green Bay today, weather permitting, his first stop in Wisconsin since clinching the Republican nomination for president. Democratic Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez says Trump has failed working families and women.
Donald Trump has proudly bragged that he was the one who got rid of Roe versus Wade, and he's calling for punishing women who have an abortion.
President Biden campaigns in Madison Monday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
Voters are casting their votes. School referendums concerning Richland County residents. The Kickapoo School District is seeking a $1.6 million recurring referendum for operational expenses. The Richland School District has two questions on the ballot. The first comes with a no increase in taxes. It's a non-recurring operational referendum seeking to exceed the revenue limit by $2.3 million next year, then followed by $2.4 million, $2.5 million, and $2.6 million the following years. The second question is a capital referendum seeking $27 million for facility improvement projects and upgrades. The River Valley School District has two questions on its ballot. The first question includes renovations at the elementary, middle, and high schools at a cost of $19.5 million. The second question includes a building project at the high school at a cost of $14.5 million. With what you need to know, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do, even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Brewer baseball today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' home opener this afternoon against the Minnesota Twins. 31-year-old right-hander Jacob Junis gets his first start for the crew after being signed in February. Junis pitched for the Giants and the Royals before that. Former pitcher, now analyst Tim Dillard, on what he thought of the Brewers' sweep of the Mets in New York over the weekend.
I liked how well-rounded the team was. I love good baseball. I love watching what I think is correct baseball and how you play it. And we saw everything from sack fly to home runs to walks, stolen bases, hitting behind the runners. That right there, taking the extra base at third and just straight up challenged, that kind of stuff. I love the way they played this series. It was the most well-rounded baseball I think I've seen in a long time. And if this is what the Brewers season is going to look like in 2024, it's going to be a fun watch.
NBA, the Bucks play the Wizards tonight in D.C. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The wintry mix flips to all snow after 4. It could be heavy at times, putting down around 1 to 2 inches before dark. As it continues to snow overnight, another 2 to 5 inches will fall. The bigger concern is the growing winds that'll be whipping up to 40 miles per hour by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome author Stacey Ryan and filmmaker Nathan Deming. Great show. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, on location at La Crosse, Wisconsin, downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin, in the beautiful Radisson Hotel overlooking the Mississippi River. We're joined by Aaron Zomers, our producer and engineer, back at the world headquarters in Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mr. Zomers, a quick weather update. Do we have rain or snow yet in Madison?
Thank you, Todd. Here at the city, or at the, wow, I messed that up hard. Here at the state's capital of Madison, high atop State Street, a block away from the Capitol, it is raining. It's raining pretty hard. Rainy. Back to you, Todd.
That's Aaron Zomer's weatherman voice, their weather person voice.
Apparently.
But in all seriousness, forecasters are changing the snow totals for our listeners in WMDX in the Madison, South Central Wisconsin area. It appears that they're now expecting 6 to 8 inches of snow, and particularly north of Madison, some places may receive more than that. Several school districts are now going to close early in much of our listed area around Madison, and looks like around WISS in Oshkosh and WGBW in Green Bay. Some of those Fox Valley areas could see nearly a foot of snow by the time it's all said and done tomorrow. Here in La Crosse, we're about an inch and a half of snow so far. And right now, it is still rain in Madison, according to Mr. Zomers, and also at WAUK over in Waukesha. But again, wherever you're driving today, allow extra time, particularly if you're going to that opening day of the Brewers game. You can hear that on our stations this afternoon on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, and WLAK from Amory. Lake Air Radio in Amory, over those stations. Pregame show with Bob Uecker and the gang gets underway at around 2:30, 2:45 after we're off the air this afternoon. We are joined here on location at the Radisson in La Crosse by our co-host for the week. He is Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican. Trigvi, great to have you out here in Wisconsin for the entire week as we go on our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour, beer, cheese, and radio.
You know what, Zomer? Zomers, you need to change that. Your sign off needs to be, I'm Aaron Zomers, ZOM2ERS.
Zomers. Oh boy.
And that's the weather.
Well,
or you could be double M. You could be ZOMERS.
I could be.
Sounds like a jingle.
It does.
ZOMERS.
That's kind of the radio
thing.
Now, see, that's pretty good. A little radio jingle.
Zomers, yeah. Anthony is discovering how that Zomers is the talent.
Right. We have been going on this tour across Wisconsin, starting Richland Center yesterday, here in La Crosse today, tomorrow in Trigvi's old stomping ground, the Chippewa Valley in Eau Claire, then to Stevens Point, and finishing the week in Green Bay, Wisconsin. While we're in La Crosse, we wanted to spend a little time with our next guest here. He is Anthony Trigovsky. He is the assistant professor of poli-sci here at UW La Crosse in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Professor, thanks for coming on the show. We
appreciate you making time for us and coming down on a snowy day in La Crosse.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, I'm really, really, the pleasure is all ours. I know you've been doing a lot of media this week, talking about today, of course, is Election Day in the state of Wisconsin. Polls are open until 8 p.m. I voted absentee. I got my little sticker on here, but talk for a minute. I know there's a lot of, you know, Trigby and I have run campaigns, he more so than I, nationally or across the state. There's kind of this old thought, this old school of thought, bless you, that you know, sometimes bad weather, you know, could be good for one side or the other. Does weather really have a determining factor on who wins elections?
It can make a difference at the margins, but I do mean at the margins, yeah. Especially as we go towards more absentee ballots. As you mentioned, Todd, you voted absentee. As we go more and more in that direction, I think the weather is going to have less of an effect. But at the margins, it does matter. And sometimes voters are kind of flipping a coin on election day. Am I going to vote or not? And rainy weather might make the difference for them. So in a very, very close election, it can make the difference.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been here at UW-La Crosse? Kind of your background and what courses do you teach at UW-La Crosse?
Yeah, I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. Very aware of La Crosse because my best friend from high school in the Twin Cities went to UWL, so I was very familiar with it. Went to the University of Minnesota for my undergraduate degree, then went to the University of North Carolina for my graduate degree, then had the chance to come back to the Midwest, and I knew just what a special place La Crosse is. So I jumped at the opportunity to come to UW-La Crosse. And here I teach courses on American government and research methods. I teach two courses this semester on research methods, an upper-level course on American government, intro American government. So at a school like UWL, you kind of have to be a jack of all trades, but it's what I love about it.
In terms of research or besides teaching in the classroom, I guess, is it elections that you're passionate about? Is it more kind of the trends? If you look at history, again, I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, history does repeat itself. We can learn a lot from history. What is it that you're passionate about in the poli-sci field?
I'm very passionate about campaigns and elections. I also, as you mentioned, Todd, study those historical trends in American politics, like how Congress has changed and how the presidency has changed. And more I'm getting into Wisconsin politics. We're rolling out a new course next fall on Wisconsin government and public policy issues. So we're really excited to hone in on Wisconsin government and policy for students who want to pursue that type of study.
So we hear a lot about these elections, particularly this year, I think, that, you know, Gen Z, the kids, quote unquote, the term the kids, you know, that a lot of them are apathetic. They don't want to get involved. You're someone who is actually with that generation each and every day you're teaching them. Do you see your class sizes growing, shrinking, staying about the same? And what do you feel, having worked with and teaching and interacting with Gen Zers every day, what do you think the vibe is, for lack of a better term, of young people in terms of looking at this election cycle in 2024?
I think there are things that go in different directions. One thing that goes in one direction with Gen Z is that they are fed up with political divides. They think that the country is deeply, deeply split, and they don't like that. It turns them off to politics. They think politics is nasty. They think politics is where people argue endlessly, kind of going in circles. For them, politics is associated with the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving dinner. It's associated with people flaming each other on Facebook comment threads. So that is one thing that does turn Gen Z off to politics, I think. But Gen Z is keenly aware of how political issues affect them. And what I noticed was when Roe versus Wade was overturned, it's like a switch was flipped among young people. And what may have been apathy before did a 180 in their mindset. And so I've noticed that for all of the flack that Gen Z gets, Todd, and you talked about that, for all the flack that Gen Z gets, they're some of the most issue-oriented people out there. They're keenly aware of the important policy issues nowadays. And so, yeah, there's a certain apathy, or maybe I would say frustration or cynicism as a result of the political divide and their frustration with polarization. But when it comes to the issues, they're very tuned in to the issues that matter.
I think to your point, I mentioned this a couple of maybe once before the show. Last summer I moved, and it was after the Dobbs decision. And I had three young guys, all their 20s, two white, one black. I only mentioned that to prove the point. This is cuts across, to my opinion, all ethnicities and party lines and genders, what have you. But three guys in their 20s that moved me, and I took them to lunch. And I said, you know, what is the one issue that you care about? And like that, all three of them said, three guys in their 20s, abortion. And they said, because we have girlfriends or sisters or whatever. And I mean, these were young males saying that they're sticking up for women's rights, to your point.
There are these issues, like you mentioned, Todd, that really animate Gen Z. Abortion is definitely one of them. When I talk to students, housing is another one. Like if a political party out there wants to own the issue of housing, if there's a candidate out there who wants to own the issue of housing, that could be a big draw for Gen Z. Could be a big draw for a lot of us who maybe want to move right now but aren't able to because of the housing prices. Gen Z is also very concerned about the cost of education. There's just so many issues that Gen Z is plugged into. And I just think that the rap on Gen Z is utterly wrong. And it leads to a certain level of cynicism, not among Gen Z, but it leads to cynicism towards Gen Z that is really unwarranted. I mean, we've had major controversies in the lacrosse community about UWL voters. Like, should they be allowed to vote in lacrosse? There was a sheriff's election in the last electoral cycle that turned on the college student vote. A close race between a Republican candidate for sheriff and a Democratic candidate for sheriff. The Democrat narrowly won in large part because the college vote turned out. And there were people really upset about that. In fact, there was even a lawsuit filed about voting for college students and if college students should be permitted to vote where they reside during the school year. So it's interesting because Gen Z is deeply, deeply passionate about issues. And that bothers some people. That bothers some of the older folks out there.
All right. Craig, we have a couple of minutes left of this segment. Any questions on this side? And we'll finish up with the other side.
I have a comment and then a question.
Yeah.
I think some of it has to do with when you take away rights or things that are perceived as established, that is the kind of thing that really energizes youth. You might be surprised, but like I ended up getting involved in politics in large part because we shifted a state legislative race. In 1986 in Wisconsin, they raised the drinking age from 19 to 21, and it just enraged students, and around campus vote went through the roof. And then, of course, afterwards, all the locals say, well, let's not let these college students vote, at least the ones on the losing side. I think the question I have is about the bigger sort of shifts that we're seeing is people losing faith in democracy as a whole and how elections operate within kind of a different game than that game of does democracy work or do we need something more authoritarian?
Yeah, Trigby, I think it's an excellent point. Now, I will say, when I teach students who are largely in Gen Z, UWL is by and large 18 to 22. When I am in the classroom with them and working with them, I am filled with optimism about the future of the United States. But I also think that it's important for Gen Z to realize what is at stake, because there's a couple, to your point, Trigby, like they only know up until a couple years ago, a world in which Roe versus Wade was the precedent, the law of the land. And so for them to have that taken away was a real shock to the system. In addition, they only know a world in which American politics has been deeply dysfunctional and where politics has become quite toxic. They only know that. And so maybe that's, do they, could we make something better, basically, is what I think. Now, Gen Z, if they are mobilized, if Gen Z gets it, then they can really bail the rest of us out. Us older folks who have kind of screwed things up. They could really bail us out. So I'm filled with hope.
Well, with Dr. Assistant Professor of Poli-Sci at UW Lacrosse, Anthony Trigosky. After this, along with Trigby, I'm Todd. We are live on location at the Radisson in downtown Lacrosse, Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tahoe Ball Show in downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin, high atop the Mississippi River behind us. If you're watching on the stream, we're at the fantastic Radisson Inn in downtown La Crosse. Great place to be. Great to have you along with us. Trigvi Olsen, the co-host for the week here from the Lincoln Project, from the nation's capital to beautiful snowy Wisconsin. The cherry blossoms are out in D.C.,
oh, baby.
Right?
I love being here. I wish I were here all the time.
Me too. It's fantastic.
I know.
We are joined by... joined by Assistant Professor of Poli-Sci at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse, one of our great public universities, part of the university... I still call it UW System. I mean, because that's what people know it by. He is Anthony Trigovsky. Professor Trigovsky, thanks for coming in. Thanks for taking this time. Really appreciate it. You know, Trigvi and I are former Republicans. You know, I don't think either one of us personally have changed our beliefs a whole lot. A little bit, at least myself, maybe a little. But when we say the party left us, what do you, as a professor who is teaching students every day, one of the things I hear from younger voters, well, a lot of people, quite frankly, is I'm sick of both sides. Mm-hmm. I want to go, you know, third party. You know, you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right now making some noise, but in my opinion, he's pretty fringe. But I think there's a lot of young people, not just 19, 20-year-olds, people under the 30s and older, who say, I'm sick of both sides because neither one gets anything done, their words, not mine. Do you find this in your classes of a want of a third party? More importantly, from a poli-sci perspective, from a history perspective, Trigvi and I have talked about it, but from a history perspective, does any third party candidate really have a chance in 2024?
No. No. But in a state like Wisconsin, a third party candidate could matter quite a bit. Imagine that, like in 2020, the 2024 election comes down to 20,000 votes. Yeah. You could easily imagine a third party candidate playing that spoiler role. Todd, to your point, when I think about my students, there is kind of that both-sidism view. Both sides are rotten. There is that view. But candidates and campaigns really matter for these young people. An excellent candidate and an excellent campaign can make a real difference in animating them and really reigniting their belief in the system. I don't take positions on candidates personally, but just based on my observations, I saw that the Protasiewicz campaign really connected with young people, really connected on college campuses, really connected among that younger generation. Of course, we saw that with Obama in the 2008 and 2012 campaign. So there is kind of an across-the-board cynicism. There is an across-the-board, I don't like this mentality among young people. But the right candidate with the right campaign in the right context can really break through that cynicism, I found.
And I would ask you, what are the differences and what are the similarities between why someone like Barack Obama and someone like Protasiewicz connected with him?
Obama, very much the idea that things don't have to be this bad. That the young people are well aware, even though they've only known dysfunctional, toxic politics. They're well aware that politics is dysfunctional and toxic. They're well aware of that. And Obama, I think, showed them a different vision. And I think that vision was very compelling to them because Obama tapped into a lot of the reasons that younger people did not like the system as it was when he ran in 2008 and 2012. For Protasiewicz, it was a perfectly timed campaign because younger people had been activated by Roe versus Wade being overturned. They had, had that switch turned, as I mentioned in the last segment. And Protasiewicz's campaign was very focused on the issue of abortion. When people heard Protasiewicz on a college campus, they thought pro-choice. And the fact that she ran such a strong campaign, such a disciplined campaign, and such an issue-oriented campaign worked. And there were a lot of questions about if that was the right thing to do. Like, is it the right thing for a judicial candidate to talk about the issues like this? Or should they stick with bland, oh, just follow the law kind of statements? Her campaign really connected with younger voters in a way that I have almost never seen, like a below presidential level candidate connect.
Talk if you would for a second. There is a, I'll call it a faction of the Democratic progressive wing in Wisconsin today trying to push people to vote uninstructed. And basically out of a protest to what's happening over in Gaza with, you know, the war between Hamas and Israel. I've certainly called out the loss of life, you know, anywhere. You know, I have my own feelings that, you know, Israel was the one that was attacked. But I think for Americans, Wisconsinites who are voting uninstructed, I saw an interview on WISN up front this weekend, somebody on there, I forget her name, who said there was no chance, to use her words, that Joe Biden could earn her vote in November because of what's happening over in Gaza. As someone who is not a partisan or who doesn't, I mean, I'm enthusiastic about voting for Joe Biden as a former Republican. What sense does that make? Professor Anthony Chigosky of La Crosse, what sense does that make when someone says, I disagree with Trump 98% of the time, but I will not vote for Joe Biden over one thing, which is going to help Trump get reelected?
Yeah, I mean, the practical effect of that is that it does help Trump get elected, because we wouldn't be talking about this if we were in a state like Illinois or Alabama. I mean, like a state that is a complete afterthought in presidential politics due to the Electoral College. But this entire election is going to be fought in six or seven states. You know, you got Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin in the Midwest, and then Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina. The entire election's in those states. And so the reason this matters is because we're talking about the uninstructed movement in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And just how many there might be. I mean, they're setting their goal at 20,000, which happens to be the margin in the popular vote for Biden in the 2020 election, trying to send that message that if they sit this one out, it could make the difference. But it's one thing to be thinking about this in, what is it, April 2nd.
Yeah.
It's another thing to be thinking that same way in early November. And it's funny how the psychology and the decision-making of voters tends to shift over time as we get towards the general election. You might have one attitude right now about Joe Biden, but as the decision becomes clear that these are the two and it's going to be one or the other, then people start to think in a bit of a different way about their vote choice. So it's no accident, for example, that we see the polling numbers of third-party candidates decline throughout the general election campaign. When it becomes clear, when it sinks into people that it's going to be this person or that person, one or the other, then their thinking changes.
Trigger, about a minute and a half left here. A quick question before we go to break. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying about, you know, ultimately voters have a choice, and American voters aren't very good about being strategic in their voting, right? Like most people who end up voting for a third party are doing so in some way that they're protesting, and they might not have voted for the other. But what I have a question about is, you know, there was a lot made about the undervote in Wisconsin in 2020, and then you had the unique phenomenon of Evers Johnson voters, which is kind of counterintuitive. You want to touch on either of those? Because I think, you know, we have a lot of people listening around the country. They might find that interesting.
There will be Donald Trump, Tammy Baldwin voters in November 2024. That will happen. And I mean, one of the questions for that U.S. Senate race is, you know, if it Baldwin or Hovde outrun the top of the ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, split ticket voting is on the decline, but it hasn't quite gone away entirely. So that'll be a storyline for sure when we figure out how this U.S. Senate race is going to go.
We are talking to Assistant Professor of Poli-Sci, Anthony Dragowski, along with Trevi Olson, Senior Advisor at Lincoln Project. I'm Todd. We're here on the Mississippi River in downtown La Crosse. Stay tuned. More is on the way on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Employees at the Universities of Wisconsin will soon get parental leave. Eligible employees will get 6 weeks of paid time off after a child is born or adopted. The Board of Regents will review the policies Thursday. Full-time employees who've been on the job at least 6 consecutive months would be eligible starting July 1st. Non-organic strawberries, blueberries, and spinach contain detectable levels of pesticides. That's according to the 2024 Dirty Dozen Shopper's Guide. Experts say there are affordable alternatives to fresh organic food.
If you are interested in purchasing organic versions of the produce that's on the Dirty Dozen, there are also some more budget-friendly options in the frozen aisles.
Dr. Alexa Friedman is with the Environmental Working Group. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Rock blasting operations along the west side of Wisconsin 130 north of the river is scheduled to start this week, tentatively tomorrow, but may be pushed to Thursday or Friday depending on weather. Blasting is necessary to fracture the rock in order for it to be excavated down to final roadway and ditch limits, and the material will be hauled to Long Island to complete roadway fill. The contractor will be conducting the blast in small, safe increments to minimize vibrations and fly rock as much as possible. Both directions of traffic on Wisconsin 130 will be stopped by flaggers for approximately 15 minutes for each individual blast. Currently, officials are anticipating one or two blasts, traffic stops daily for 5 to 7 consecutive working days, again, dependent on weather and other field conditions. As a safety precaution, Brace Memorial Park will be closed continuously on weekdays and nights once blasting operations start. The park will be reopened for the weekend when blasting work is not occurring. For safety reasons, spectators will not be allowed near the work zone. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulak.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second showbiz beat. Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire, cleaned up at the box office over the weekend, raking in $80 million on almost 4,000 screens and $194 million worldwide. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire took second place with almost $16 million. The new Liam Neeson film In the Land of Saints and Sinners underwhelmed at the domestic box office, taking in a little over $1 million on 900 screens. People magazine did cartwheels over Khloe Kardashian and her family's Easter photos. She's one of the Kardashians who is not Kim or Kendall. Kardashian posted photos with her own two kids, Tatum and True, and nieces Dream and Chicago. I know what you're thinking. Are those serious names, or are they trying to outweird the Zappas? When I read People's headline that said Khloe Kardashian shared wholesome family photos, I thought, why would she share pics of someone else's family? But nope, they're actual Kardashians. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The wintry mix flips to all snow after 4. It could be heavy at times, putting down around 1 to 2 inches before dark. As it continues to snow overnight, another 2 to 5 inches will fall. The bigger concern is the growing winds that'll be whipping up to 40 miles per hour by tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
Welcome back.
back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here high atop the Mississippi River, the Old Miss in downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin, here at the beautiful Radisson Inn. Thank you very much to all the great folks here, Rob and Krista at the Radisson, for being great hosts. We're happy to be here. Great view you can see watching out the windows here behind us. Yes, that is snow. It is snowing here in Wisconsin on the 2nd of April and across much of the state today. So, some parts north of Madison up to the Fox Valley going to get several inches in the Fox Valley. Pertner, as we say in Richland Center, Pertner a foot of snow in some parts of Wisconsin today. It is election day. Polls are open until 8 p.m. Drive safely, but get out there and do your civic duty.
After you vote, if you're in the La Crosse County area, come to the Houghton Pub at 6 o'clock to join Todd and I. We'll buy the first beers or sodas if you drink sodas.
Yes.
And the cheese curds.
That's right. Houghton
they
Pub.
Have good cheese curds.
Well, rumor has it that people in La Crosse really like beer. So, like,
rumor has it.
Yeah.
More than those Minnesotans.
Oh, yeah.
We are here along with our co-host.
Pig's eye here, I tell you, St. Paul guy.
Our co-host for the week, Trivi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And we are joined by our special guest this segment, Anthony Trukowski. He is the assistant professor of poli-sci at UW-La Crosse. Anthony, thank you so much for coming out here on a snowy day and joining us off the text line, listening in on WMDX in Madison West from Middleton, getting back to something we talked about earlier in this half hour, saying regarding students' right to vote on campus, even if they are not from that area year-round, saying, quote, does the sheriff of the area have jurisdiction over the campus students that they study on and the dorms and apartments they live in? If so, then yeah, duh, students have the right to choose their elected officials. That type of reasoning is why the Republican Party is eventually going to make themselves irrelevant. They are doing nothing to court younger voters. They are trying to obstruct them, unquote. It gets back to this movement in some circles of the Wisconsin Republican Party trying to offer legislation saying that students on campus shouldn't have the right to vote on the campus in which they live. That just seems nonsensical to me.
It's been a big topic here at UW-La Crosse because the UWL campus has a significant role in the politics of the region. As we've noted earlier in the show, the La Crosse County Sheriff's election was likely decided by the student vote because it was so hotly contested between the Democratic candidate and the Republican candidate. And that left a lot of raw feelings in the community because you've had folks who've lived here a long time looking at these college students and wondering about the effects that they're having on the election outcomes. So, but yeah, you know, Mayor Mitch Reynolds of La Crosse says, you know, where you live 9 months out of the year is where you live. Right. And so you vote there. And so while I try to steer clear of policy positions, taking, you know, policy positions, I don't think my own policy views are really relevant to what I do. But this one, I will absolutely stand up for students 7 days a week, 365. I think it is utterly absurd to say that they should not be allowed to vote where they live the majority of the year. I mean, imagine what you were saying here, right, Todd? Like you live here 9 months out of the year, but you don't really live here.
Okay, I'm going to go on a rant here.
I'll go ahead.
Want to know what people like Vladimir Putin and Alexander Lukashenko do with students? They make it that they have to drive where they're back home. Why do they do that? Because autocrats don't want students voting because students typically don't like autocrats. Honestly, that is the most ridiculous argument by these people who say the students should have to vote where they're back home. Like, it's just crazy that you would do that. They live here. And here's the thing. The people who are grumbling here in La Crosse, first of all, a lot of them probably spend a good chunk of their winter, more than 3 months, in warm places. A. B, if their candidate hadn't lost, they wouldn't be saying a darn thing.
Well,
nothing right about the students voting. It's because they lost. You know what? Get off your duffs. Make a case to the students why they should support you, or recognize that if you're going to go do things like repeal Roe versus Wade or come after birth control or raise the drinking age in the state of Wisconsin, younger people are going to be a little PO'd about it.
I agree.
And if you're a party that keeps taking rights away from women and young people, what are you going to get? quit trying to keep them from voting. I mean, you know who's the worst offender? Mr. Baseball Card Man Scott Walker. Yeah. Yeah. Don't put out baseball cards. The kiddos don't like that. Anyway, that's from earlier, but seriously.
I agree. Anthony, again, from your perspective as an assistant professor here at Poli Sci, we have about 5 minutes left before I know you have to go. Talk to us a little bit about counties like La Crosse County across the state of Wisconsin that have universities in them and how you think that may affect or what role that has in the 2024 election in Wisconsin and the implications nationwide.
Well, it's appropriate that you're here in La Crosse on your tour, Todd, because it's counties like La Crosse that make Wisconsin great. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that in the time that I've lived here. And I just think it is such a blessing to have places like this in the state of Wisconsin. And places like La Crosse, places like the Cooley region, are going to be highly relevant politically for a couple of reasons. First, there does tend to be some element of key swing voters in western Wisconsin in the La Crosse area. Additionally, this is probably the key center point of the 3rd Congressional District with Congressman Derek Van Orden running for re-election. And we got to wait to see what happens in Brian Stiles' district. But as of right now, the 3rd District is shaping up to be the most competitive U.S. House of Representatives race in the state. And so I think it'll be well worth watching how that House of Representatives race plays out. There's a contest on the Democratic Party side between State Representative Katrina Shanklin and then Rebecca Cook, who's an entrepreneur from the Eau Claire area. And they're vying to become the Democratic candidate to run against Van Orden. And so I think this area, the La Crosse area, western Wisconsin, will be the focal point of a lot of campaigning. We're waiting for Biden and Trump to show up because we know they're going to show up at some point. And also that congressional race as well.
Yeah. Well, we hear a lot, unfortunately, by people that like to attack our public universities around Wisconsin. I think that having you on today and people like you are evidence that this is not some sort of, to use the former governor words, woke indoctrination. These are people who are passionate about, like yourself, who are passionate about educating young people and getting critical thinking and challenging people to say, you know, here are the facts. You don't get, if Tip O'Neill, or the senator.
Daniel Patrick.
Thank you. Daniel Patrick Moynihan that said, you know, you're entitled to your own opinions, but not your own facts. So people like you are giving facts to our young people and then saying, decide for yourself. And I appreciate what you're doing here at UW La Crosse, the Poli Sci department. It is one of the things that makes Wisconsin great, our great public universities, great professors like yourself. Thank you. I appreciate everything you and your colleagues do here at UW La Crosse.
Thank you, Todd. I mean, this is a really tough time politically for higher education. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of caught in the middle of a lot of broader culture wars. And one thing that I would just mention is that I tell students, I care deeply about you. I care deeply about your professional success. I care deeply about you being excellent citizens and excellent community members. The one thing that I don't care about when it comes to you, the one thing that I don't care about with you is which party you vote for. Just don't care about that, period, end of story. Everything else about you, I'm ride or die for that. I care deeply about that.
And it comes out. And just to hear listening to you today, bring your knowledge. We appreciate this so much. Thanks for coming out in the snowstorm. And people, get out and vote. Exercise your rights and democracy and get out and vote today.
You want to know what else is great about Wisconsin?
What?
That we can steal guys like Anthony from Minnesota. Right. He wants to come here and live, and he has seen the light. And I'm guessing, even if he's still with those people back home, kind of acts like he wears purple, he probably wears green and gold.
Well, I don't go that far, but
probably.
You know,
maybe. I bet so. Right. Probably doesn't admit it to him, but I bet. And if he doesn't, he wishes he had a cheesehead.
Well, we've adopted him as our own. So.
That's right. That's
I know you got
what makes Wisconsin.
I know you got to go, but anything else we didn't ask you want to say before you take off?
Well, just that UW schools like UW La Crosse are so critical for the future viability of Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin is really hurting for young people. It's an aging state. Population growth is not spectacular. So we are thinking every day about how do we not just educate the young people of Wisconsin, but how do we keep them here? Yeah. Because we know that there's a lot of uncertainty in the future of Wisconsin demographically, economically, politically. And so, I mean, we're just doing our part day in and day out. And, you know, the political noise is what it is surrounding higher ed. But then, you know, we're just there keeping our heads down, trying to do what's right for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate everything you do and your colleagues do. Best of luck for the rest of the semester here. About one month and a half left is
about
all?
About that, yep.
Jeez, it goes quick. You wouldn't know it looking outside the window, right? Anthony Jagoski, Assistant Professor of Poli-Sci at UW La Crosse. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, my pleasure. Well, there you go, Trigby. That's the way you want to have the show. Somebody that brings the facts, the knowledge.
100%.
You know what the kids are saying now? The Riz. He's
100%.
Riz.
100%. And honestly, because he's an honest guy, he would admit that Jordan Love is far better than Sam Darnold.
Let's not push it. We appreciate him coming out here. Really,
yes,
really fantastic.
Also,
and that's
Todd,
a great example. Yes.
Did you say he is Riz?
Yeah, that's Riz, right. Did I use that correctly?
No. Riz is short for charisma, so you would say he has Riz.
Oh, he has Riz. See, I'm trying.
Now you know.
Is that what it means?
Yes.
Yeah, Riz is short
for
charisma.
So now for the other girl dads who are listening, I have my 14-year-old constantly, oh, this boy was trying to risen on me.
Yeah, you can also use it as a verb if somebody's just trying to, you know, sneak into your DMs. If someone's trying to impress you, they're trying to riz you or riz on you, you know.
Yeah, she said if a boy is trying to riz her, that's not something that seems positive.
It's not good, no. It's trying to be sleazy,
trying to be
sneaky, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I learned this over Easter from my 16-year-old niece and my brother-in-law who teaches 16-year-olds.
Honestly, yeah.
So that's the thing that's difficult is having riz is a good thing because you're a charismatic person, but trying to riz somebody is like
not
having fake charisma, to be sleazy. Yeah.
Well, you know what? As a girl dad, Zomers, you might become a reference point for me when slang
Perhaps.
Gets used from this point forward. I can help you with marketing Zio.
There you go.
M-E-R.
These and other hitherto unknown facts, as my old teacher, Ken Lewis, liked to say.
You know what I'm really hoping? We get a good turnout tonight at Houghton's Pub with people saying, you know what, Todd, Trigby, you're part of what makes Wisconsin great.
You are, but
I don't think so.
You know what part?
Your show, and honestly,
another thing that makes Wisconsin.
And if we compare you to the good people in Dane and Milwaukee counties, I just want to say, you have choices. You could be listening to the crazy lady who is going on and on about Zuckerbucks today, I am sure. I don't even need to listen to know what she's talking about. Mm. Or you could have substance and what makes this state great with Todd Albaugh.
We appreciate it.
It's an easy choice.
Breaking news, by the way.
Yeah. What is the breaking news?
Thanks for being enthusiastic.
No, I am enthusiastic. What's the breaking news?
Donald Trump is in Green Bay today, but it's just been announced that President Joe Biden will be in Madison on Monday.
Good luck getting to work, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm going to be in Indiana covering the solar eclipse.
Hey, Zomers, cute total eclipse of the heart.
All right.
So, but apparently, I mean, to your point, point, Wisconsin is ground zero. We're going to see all these people coming to Wisconsin.
I'm not going to be sharing the secrets of political operative class here with you, Todd, but I will with the listeners.
All right.
If you miss Joe Biden or Donald Trump this time around, I'm pretty sure you'll have about 47,000 more opportunities to see them live. And not only that, 16 million times you're going to see him on television over the next 8 months. So, Todd, I think you'll be good.
I think we'll be good. We'll catch him next time.
And you know how often you're going to get to see an eclipse? Once, like every 70 years or something.
It'll never happen in my lifetime again.
No. See, I think those eclipses happen fairly often. Remember last time when Trump was president, the genius, he was looking at the sun and the eclipse without glasses? Like, honestly, had the man been living in a cave?
And somehow he's still, you know, seen. I don't know.
Your dad can be a professor or uncle at MIT. It doesn't mean that you're bright.
Come back with Trigby Olson. More on location at the Radisson, downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at WRCE.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are downtown La Crosse, Wisconsin, on location overlooking the Mississippi River, the Old Miss, here at the beautiful Radisson Inn in downtown La Crosse. Great place. If you're ever in the La Crosse area and need a place to stay, they are more than accommodating, not just a great hotel, but the people, Trigvy. It is what part of what makes Wisconsin
Spring
great.
Spring is here. Baseball is back, as you can see from behind us. It's opening day in the state of Wisconsin. The snow is falling. Not football season, mind you.
No. Andrew from Maine says, things that make Wisconsin great, baseball cards with actual baseball players, maybe even Brewers.
He doesn't look like Gorman Thomas in the tweet. No, he doesn't.
Speaking of our former governor, Scotty Badger Boy State Walker.
You can check it out on Twitter. Yeah, he tweeted it himself. It's got four likes.
Coming up at the top of the hour, update of news, weather, and sports. And then the Maggie Dawn Show, the great Maggie Dawn Show, nominated for a Wisconsin Broadcasters Association for Best Radio Show of the Year. Congratulations to her. The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show coming up after the top of the hour. Stay tuned for that. As Trigvy said, we're going to be downtown La Crosse tonight, hosting a little beer and cheese curd and soda, whatever your pleasure as far as drinking. Don't have to drink alcohol. It could be a soda, a root beer, whatever, and cheese curd. So join us there.
Did you notice? What did I have last night? I didn't drink beer. Tonight I might have a beer.
I had a spotted cow last night.
You had a spot. Yeah, you had a former teacher buy you a spotted cow. You're a social studies teacher. Dude, that was impressive.
What?
Todd not only is a hero to all listeners and me in Richland Center, it's like hanging out with, I don't know, it's like going to Ireland with Bono, I guess.
Oh, good Lord, no.
But anyway, what I was going to say, more importantly, I had a Bloody Mary.
You did?
And that bowling alley in Richland Center.
The Phoenix Center.
Phoenix Center. Fantastic Bloody Marys. The only thing they're missing is a Slim Jim or some other kind of meat in their Bloody Mary.
In the Bloody Mary?
They need Charlie Barron's to come there.
Oh, yeah. You need like a beef stick or something.
You need a beef stick.
Or venison.
Got to have a beef stick. But to that point, if anybody is listening in the La Crosse area, we have not eaten because we had this change of plans. So if you know of a place to get good bratwurst or pizza in downtown La Crosse, tweet it at us fast.
And where's the place we're going to tonight?
Houghton's Pub.
Houghton's
which
Pub.
We know they have some of the best cheese curds.
Right.
So cold spotted cow. If you're going to be in the 608.
If you're going to be in downtown La Crosse tonight, stop by Houghton's Pub from 6 until 7:30 and hang out with Trigvy and I, get a free beer or soda on us, and cheese curds as well. Should be a good time had by all at Houghton's Pub in downtown La Crosse. Tomorrow, Trigvy, we're on the road later on tonight. We're going to be going up to where your old stop is. Talk about a celebrity. People, it's going to be palms in the streets for Trigvy Olsen as he arrives into town.
No.
Instead of riding on an ass, there's going to be one driving him.
That's funny, Todd. That's self-deprecating humor. That's a good tactic.
Right?
Yes, we will be in Eau Claire, Wisconsin tomorrow.
Yes.
And amazingly, the chancellor is going to be on with us. We're going to have a former classmate of mine at Eau Claire who certainly did a lot better at Eau Claire than I did.
Yeah.
But I excelled at Water Street. Right. And we're going to go to Water Street. So we're hitting them all.
Yeah.
We are. The state of many things that make Wisconsin.
Tomorrow we're up in the Eau Claire, at W. Eau Claire. And then on Thursday, we are in Stevens Point at UW Stevens Point. And then on Wednesday, Friday. Boy, maybe I do need a beer. On Friday, we're going to be at Green Bay to a location to yet be determined.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that.
We're hoping to have a really good location.
Yeah. We're fingers crossed. We'll work something out.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Weather update.
And regardless, it doesn't matter where we are as long as we have Mr. Zomers, Zomers, on the board.
Live now from the state's capital in Madison, Wisconsin, high atop State Street, Aaron Zomers, Zomers. We have an update on the weather, and it looks like there are some big flakes in Madison. Over the last 10, 20 minutes or so, the raindrops have been becoming thicker, and now we have snowfall. Nothing sticking on the ground yet, but more later. Aaron Zomers, Zomers.
Nicely done. Big flakes in downtown Madison. I didn't know Robin Voss was back in the Capitol today.
That was a good one. You know what? I'm really glad, Todd, we got to come to La Crosse.
Me too.
We were going to come earlier. Yeah. Our apparently former friend, Brian Schimming, did not want us at his party. His what was it? Reds? Better... Dead than Reds or something, and they are the Reds. But anyway, he did not want us there. But the good news is we got to come back. Yeah. And you know what? We should try again with the Republican State Convention.
We'll try.
I don't know where we'll be.
We're going to be.
We should try the Democrat one, too.
Yes, we're going to be at the RNC and the DNC later on this year. So that'll be
that
fun.
Is true. Chicago and Madison.
Yep. No, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Oh, well, you know what? They're actually busing people from Madison, some of the delegations. Yeah.
That's true.
South Carolina, probably. That voted for Nikki Haley, the Vermont people will probably be staying in Platteville.
Probably. thanks to also Edie Siftestad of Richland Center for giving us this fantastic homemade lefse. Trigby and I are going to enjoy some of that. Also, thanks to Professor Anthony Dragowski, the Assistant Professor of Poli-Sci at UW La Crosse. And a special thanks to the entire staff here at the Radisson Inn in downtown La Crosse. They have been nothing but hospitable, and we appreciate them so very much. Of course, also thanks to Mr. Aaron Zomers back in Madison for being the outstanding producer and engineer that he is. And we'll see you downtown La Crosse tonight and then up in Eau Claire tomorrow. Also joined by Mr. Pat Kreitlow on tomorrow's show as well, host of Up North News Radio. Now, I'm going to do an early morning, my Wednesday morning hit with Pat Kreitlow on his show, Up North News, at 7:45. Do you want to join me on that?
No. I love Pat, and I can't wait to be down at Dooley's with Pat because, as I said before, people who were at Eau Claire in the 80s, they would be clamoring to come to Water Street and see Pat and I. But I would like to say a special thanks to the Radisson here. I want to augment that. Yeah. Not only are they incredibly nice people, but the bed was so comfortable last night. I would say if you are coming to La Crosse, there is only one place to stay, right here at the Radisson. And do you know what's happening?
What?
Todd, tonight, right here next to us, but we won't be in town anymore. There is some group called Broken Benjamin.
Breaking Benjamin,
who opened once for Weezer. Playing
Weezer?
The tour buses are lined up. You and they I will comment. They are apparently a big deal.
They are a big deal.
They don't sound anything like Weezer, though.
No,
but in their Wikipedia, it literally suggests that one of their claims to fame is they opened for Weezer.
Okay, then.
I have never heard of them. Sommers, do you know them?
Yeah,
gotta go.
All right.
Mr. Trigby Olson, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow from UW Eau Claire. On behalf of the entire team, we thank you for listening. Whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next.
Keep banging on, and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Do you owe
back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The UN Secretary General says 196 aid workers.